Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 155 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her luck. Yeah, you heard me right. We're going to learn how to make your own luck. But before we hop into that, just know that this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. You won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate and review this podcast because we love your feedback. Love to hear from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
I couldn't wait for this episode. I was so excited. Oh boy, because I have in my hot little hands one of the best books I've read ever. It's called How Luck Happens. Using the science of luck to transform work, love, and life. And we have with us the author, Janice Kaplan. And I must say, I've been walking around with the Audible book of this as well. I have now walked my two beloved German Shepherds probably a million miles as I've been listening to every single word, because it was just that transforming to me, and it will be to you by the time we're done with this episode. So the name of the book again is How Luck Happens, Using the Science of Luck to Transform Work, Love, and Life. Janice Kaplan is a journalist, TV producer, and writer. She's the author of 14 popular books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Gratitude Diaries, and her brand new book, of course, is How Luck Happens. She was the editor-in-chief of Parade Magazine and the executive producer of the TV Guide Television Group, where she created and produced more than 30 primetime network television specials. She has appeared frequently on TV shows, including Today and Good Morning America. And in How Luck Happens, she shares how we can each create luckier lives for ourselves every day. Janice, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. And I look forward to meeting your German Shepherd someday, too.
Oh, my gosh. All I know is they've never been healthier because I didn't want to come in from the very long walks. I wanted to continue to listen to your book. Now, I'm not doing the hyperbole thing. I'm telling you, this book was superb. Now, you narrated the book as well, and you have a really great, I narrate my books as well. And, you know, you've got a really strong voice, and you got your points across so well. And I loved, as a physician and scientist, to learn about the science of luck. But first of all, why did you want to write this book in the first place? I know The Gratitude Diaries, which I have a copy of as well, superb, superb, was wonderful. And then you moved to luck. Why luck?
Well, thank you. And thank you for your support on the books. Actually, luck and gratitude have more in common than you might think. One of the pleasures for me in writing The Gratitude Diaries was I got to live a year living gratefully. And I discovered at the end of that year that we really have more control over our lives than we think, that so often we're waiting for events that are going to make us happy and grateful. And of course, I discovered that, no, the events are there anyway, and it's our attitude that's going to change how we feel about them. So I started thinking about what other topics are there out there that we might also have more control over than we realize. And I sort of stumbled onto luck, because we usually think of luck as random chance. Something just happens. That event just falls from the sky. And I thought, well, let's take a couple of steps back and look at it and find out maybe there are ways to control it. And so that's what I did. And I teamed up on this one with an academic named Barnaby Marsh, who was sort of my guide through some of the science of it.
I got to meet Barnaby sometime. I mean, this guy's all over the place. Every time you brought him, and he does that too. And he does that too. And it went on and on. He sounded like quite the little teammate on this one. Now, you know, for the longest time, I've been really fascinated with this whole issue of luck as well. But I knew that there was some key to it, right? So I heard many years ago while I was at Berkeley, someone once said, you know, that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So I said to myself, well, always be prepared, stay on top of the program and back and forth. But then when I was listening to the book, you expanded this to something that I just love. So tell everybody what luck is. It's the, you know, it's the convergence of three elements.
Right. So I looked at luck as being at the intersection of random chance, which we just talked about, and talent and hard work. And by talent, I don't mean that you have to be Meryl Streep, though it can never hurt to be Meryl Streep. But talent includes a whole bucket of things like recognizing opportunities, being open to possibilities, sometimes going in a slightly different path than other people, which we call zigging when others zag, being willing to take risks now and then. So that all goes into that talent bucket. And the third one, hard work, is hard work. There's no way to get around that. That's just as straightforward as it sounds. But when you put those two together, when you put the talent and the hard work together, you start to create all sorts of opportunities for yourself, all sorts of possibilities, all sorts of luck. And so then when those random events come in, sometimes you can take advantage of them and make more luck from them. Or sometimes they're going to be unfortunate events that come in because those happen too, but you're pretty well guarded against them because you have that other two-thirds of the equation already taken care of. So you can't control everything. There are certainly events in life, we all know it, that come from places we don't understand. But there is two-thirds of it that is under your control, and that's really enough to make a huge difference.
Well, you know, one of the pieces of the book, I didn't even know where to begin because I love the thing so much. I loved the examples. They really helped clarify and explain a lot of things. But that whole issue of how people can take bad luck, you know, what looks like bad luck if you're just sort of observing something, and turn it into a lucky break. In other words, just sort of flip it around, because I think that, you know, people really crave hope. They really want hope. And I think that sometimes you just sort of end up with what appears to be sort of a string of bad luck. And you're thinking, you know, I'll just never dig myself out of here. And only to find out that, well, wait a minute. Here are these other examples of people who really seem to be having quite the bad day. And they flipped it around. Can you give us an example? I mean, you had so many in the book that were great.
Well, thanks. Yes, and so much of luck really is your perception of it, whether it's going to be good luck or bad luck. And sometimes you don't really know which it is at the moment. So I will give you an example, one that's all too common for many people, losing a job, right? That sounds like it's just about as awful as it can get. And you tend to feel horrible, and you often just dig yourself into a hole, and you don't see how you can get out. Well, one possibility is to just pull back. Instead of being right where you are, almost imagine yourself flying above yourself and looking down. And then maybe you can see some of the pathways that are possible from where you are. And as I said, one example of that, the author Lee Child, who is known for his famous Jack Reacher books that were turned into the movies with Tom Cruise, he told me that he didn't start becoming a writer until he was fired as a television producer. He was living in London at the time. He had a job that he thought was going to last forever. He'd been a TV producer for maybe 12 years. New management came in. As often happens, he was out. And he was bitter and upset and angry, and he just didn't know what to do. He had a wife and a kid and a mortgage and a car payment, and he decided he was just going to take it as an opportunity. He was going to try to see being fired as a chance he wouldn't otherwise get to do something that he wouldn't otherwise do. And so he decided to try writing, which is something he had always wanted to do. Now, when you're in that situation, you don't know that your books are going to end up being international bestsellers. You don't know that they're going to end up being turned into movies starring Tom Cruise. But you do know that it's a moment. It's a moment in time that you can either decide is devastating and I don't know what to do with this and there's nothing I can do, or it's a moment in time where you can say, let me see what good I can make out of it. Let me see how I can make luck from this. And so sometimes having that sense of possibility really turns into luck and turns into more and more possibilities.
I love it. And, you know, I think that another thing that was such a strong undercurrent throughout the entire book was that you can make your own luck. Yes, you can. I think a lot of people, just like you said in the beginning, just thought something fell into your lap and there you have it. No, you can make your own luck. And there are all kinds of elements you speak about. One that really resonated with me was that whole issue of how other people and your connection with other people can lead to luck. Strange little things like that. This is why building an interconnectedness with other people and holding on to those bridges, not burning them, may one day come back and there it is. It benefits you. Suddenly it could be anything from love to business. So talk about some of those relationships and how one can actually work them.
Right. Well, luck really is very often other people. Luck comes from other people. And we tend to think that those other people are going to be the ones who are closest to us, right? Mom and dad are going to help us out. Our best friends, our brothers and sisters, you know, that those people in that tight little circle. It turns out that it's people in that second or third circle beyond that who are much more likely to make luck for you. And sociologists call that weak ties. They have a wonderful phrase, which is the strength of weak ties. Because those people who you don't know that well, those people who you don't see every day, who are in a slightly different circle than you, they're the people who know different opportunities than you do, who may have heard of a different job than you're aware of, who may know a perfect mate for you who you haven't yet met. The people in your direct circle know the same opportunities and people that you do. So trying to extend that circle. And by the way, that doesn't mean social media friends. That doesn't mean the people who you randomly connect to online. You really have to have some face-to-face contact with them, even if it's, you know, a couple of times a year. But establishing those weak ties really can help in all sorts of situations.
And being in the right place, you know, with some thought to it, you know, that good old Woody Allen, quote about 50% of life is just sort of showing up. But, you know, what I like to do is I like to look at it this way. I like to say, look, put some thought into it, too. You know, the likelihood of being able to take advantage of something pretty amazing in your life really means you've got to show up. There was a whole piece in your book, which I just, you know, another slice of this carrot cake of a book that I just loved, which was, you know, show up to the party. When you're invited to a party, I think you told me, you said to us in the book that Barnaby didn't like to really go to a lot of parties, but damn it, he showed up. What is this about showing up to the party, as it were?
Yeah, well, there was one extraordinarily wealthy man we spoke to who's now in his 80s, and I asked him his secret of success, and he said, I went to every party. And he meant it both literally and figuratively. But you're right. Some of it really is just showing up, putting yourself in the place where things can happen. But you mentioned at the very beginning preparedness and being ready for something. You know, over and over again when we would speak to people, they would talk to us about this lucky random event where they just happened to be seated next to somebody at a dinner party and that person just happened to offer them a job and that's been their career ever since. And, you know, and they would say, isn't it amazing? My whole life and career turned on luck. And I would say, well, take it a couple of steps back. Why were you at that dinner party? Who invited you to that dinner party? How did you happen to go to it? And what did you say to that guy who was sitting next to you that he offered you the job? Because there's a really good chance that if I were sitting next to him, he wouldn't have offered me a job because I wouldn't have known what to say. So I think so often those things that we take as just being random are really because we've done something to get ourselves in the right place, to be prepared to say the right thing, to know what we want, and to be focused enough that when we're talking to somebody, we can really let them know where we are and what we want. And I think when you realize that you've done that, and you know what, we all feel like, oh, I should just say it was luck. I sound very not humble if I say I did something to make it happen. But you know what? If you realize that you did do something to make it happen, that means you can do something to make it happen again in the future. If you look at it as, oh, it was just random that I sat next to that guy, and you don't take it those couple of steps back and see what you do, then you're just going to have to wait to be seated next to the right person again, and that's not likely to happen. So I think it's really empowering and encouraging to realize that you're making that luck in so many of those situations.
I love it. You know, so many of us here in Washington, D.C., we have a lot of very successful women from a multitude of different venues, everything from obviously government to business and back and forth. And I got a collection of them together, my girl pals, and we grabbed your book and we were just looking at each other saying, oh, my God. She's absolutely right. Janice Kaplan really got it, which was we sat back, we all worked hard, we all were prepared. And then when chance, opportunity, you know, appeared, we were just at the ready, like bring it on. But there was something else that was also going on here. And that is we had in our hearts courage. We were kind of brave. We put it out there. We were adventuresome. And most of us were of the belief that if it didn't really work out, as it were, perfectly, so what? It was part of the adventure. It was a teachable, learnable moment. And we used that then to help build even a stronger platform for the next time opportunity showed up. So I see it in many respects as sort of a very courageous adventure when you look at this whole issue of making your own luck. What do you think of that?
Well, I love the way you just described it because you hit on so many really important points. You don't have to be wildly courageous to make luck, but you do have to be willing to take a chance, to put yourself out there. Interestingly, we did find often that some of the most successful people, as you said, you see it as one thing, and if it doesn't work out, you'll do another. So successful people tend to do two things. One is they diversify. They see many opportunities for themselves, and they let themselves try different things. Another is that they sort of put a floor under themselves so they can't fall too far. Yeah, they'll take a risk, but they realize that if that's not working out, that's okay. I have this other opportunity that I might want to go to also. And I bet something else that you and your friends have done is you've probably been courageous enough, and here I do think it's courage, you've been courageous enough to go in a slightly different path than other people. And frankly, for women in Washington, sometimes, you know, in the last number of years, that just means being a woman in Washington. that takes some courage in itself.
Hear, hear.
to just go ahead and try something a little bit different. And I spoke to a bunch of people who talked about how their success really was based on going into a different lane and being willing to try something that others weren't trying. I can give you one great example of that if you like. There's a TV executive I worked with some years ago named Mike Darnell, and he was at Fox at the time. And what he was doing at Fox was he was creating all of these new reality television shows. He was one of the first executives putting reality television on the air. At first, everybody thought that Mike was just crazy and he was, you know, reviled for what he was doing. But he really thought that the only way he was going to be a success was to be different. And this is in an industry where everybody copies each other. And so he kept being different. And then as it happened, a TV executive from London came into the United States pitching a TV show. Mike was one of the only executives willing to talk to him. He bought the show. He put it on as a summer replacement. and it turned out to be American Idol. So, yeah, Michael was the guy who brought America American Idol. And
yeah.
He told me that the only reason he thinks he was that successful was because he very consciously put himself in a different lane and said, I'm going to try things that people tell me I can't do.
I love it. I absolutely love it. There was one of my dear friends, Naomi, has just celebrated the 30th anniversary of her corporation. And Naomi is African American. And 30 years ago, when she started her company, she was, if anyone's ever been prepared and super organized, it's Naomi. She was turned down by every single bank because she was a woman and she was a black woman. And except for one small bank, that small bank gave her a chance because she was prepared. She worked so hard. And then she just put it out there, and it took tremendous courage and bravery. Well, needless to say, that bank's been more than happy with her. It's been bought over 4 times. It's probably part of Bank of America or something huge now. And right now, she sits here 30 years later just smiling to herself, saying, you know, you have to have courage and belief in self to put it out there. See, the thing I loved about your book, in addition, Janice, is when I read How Luck Happens, it goes so deep. It goes to a belief in self. You can't think that you can make your own luck until you do your own homework on yourself. You have to sit back and, you know, you can't just do hard work on what? You have to have a meaning and a purpose and a focus and a mission. And it makes you sit back and do that homework so that you can go forth. And that's what Naomi did. And when we were sitting around our, you know, sort of our round table of the estrogen squad, I like to call us, she looked at me and she said, damn, you know, Kaplan's right. It's exactly what I put together. It was, yes, chance was involved. You know, which bank was it going to be, if any bank at all? But I did the hard work and I was prepared. And so there you have it, all three of them together. Make sense?
No, absolutely. And Naomi sounds terrific, and she also sounds like a great example of two really important qualities. One is focus. One is knowing what you want and, you know, going ahead and going after it. And the second is persistence. Sometimes you have to just keep knocking on those doors. You just have to keep over and over again trying to make luck. And, you know, like Naomi, there are lots of stories of people who just keep getting turned down. You know, how many times was J.K. Rowling turned down with her Harry Potter books before they got accepted? I think John Grisham had something like 200 rejections before he published his first book. And, you know, and over actors tell us those stories too. So now, one warning, you know, it may be if you've been turned down by a publisher 200 times, it's because you have a lousy book. But
it's just a thought.
If you're getting, right, just a thought. But if you're getting close, you know, if each time you're getting close, if you're an actor and you're trying out for those roles and you know, if you're being dismissed in the first round every time, maybe it is time to go to law school. But if every time you're getting close, you're getting the callback, you're getting, you know, down to one of three or four, then it really is just hanging in there, just caring enough until you can turn it around. And that's a great story about Naomi. She knew what she wanted to do. She knew that she was going to have something that mattered. And if you give yourself more at-bats, you're going to get more hits, right? It's how you make a great hitter. It's you just keep trying.
In part 5 of your book, as we're wrapping up this podcast that I wish would go on forever, it's called The Big Picture, and it starts with a quote: "Anything's possible in human nature. Love, madness, hope, infinite joy." And of course, this was written by Arundhati Roy, the god of small things. So as we're starting this lucky path, you talk about finding your compass. What's that about? How do we explain this to people, finding your compass?
When you ultimately talk about luck, what you're really talking about is creating a lucky life. And that can mean something different to everybody. But it's not a lucky moment that you want. It's not a lucky break. It's not even sometimes, you know, getting that lucky, you know, getting lucky enough to get the job or even date that you want. But it's what is that overall view that you're going to be able to look back and say, this is how I created a lucky life. And the idea of the compass is you want to walk with a compass, not a map. You want to have an idea where you're going. You want to know the direction that's important to you. But be able to look around as you're walking, to be able to see what's around you, to see the other possibilities. You know, I'm always lost, so I'm always following the little dot on my GPS, you know, on my phone. And when you do that, you're only going in a very straight direction. You're going directly to the point where you want to go, and you don't see anything else around you. If you have the notion or the metaphor of the compass, that you know vaguely where you want to go, you know what's important, but you're going to be able to look in all directions, see what's in front of you, have the ability to jump on possibilities and take opportunities, then you really have a much better chance to create that bigger view and that bigger lucky life.
I love it. And as we end, you know, one of the things I want to do is just end with how you ended the book. Yeah, by the way, you're a superb writer, and as coming from a fellow writer. So I just loved it. So here it comes. I realize we can't control everything in life, but we can control more than we think. We choose our opportunities, our outlook, our general life pathways. At the end of the day, what is life except the people we love and the experiences we share with them? We build a lucky life through the joy we find for ourselves and others. We learn to treat triumph and disaster the same and make luck from whatever is in front of us. Luck is not a moment in time, but the lifetime of moments we make. I didn't create the sunshine on the water, but I allowed myself to look up and appreciate it. We can all keep finding more of that sunshine, and every time we do, we are making our luck. And with that, I mean, I'm closing out an episode. I want to keep going forever. We've been talking to Janice Kaplan. She is the author of How Luck Happens, brand new book, How Luck Happens, Using the Science of Luck to Transform Work, Love, and Life. You can learn more about this book at www.howluckhappens.com. And honestly, I can't thank you enough, Janice, for being on the Her Podcast, because your words of wisdom, I know, have resonated with so many women out there. Thank you so much. Well, we are very grateful for you.
Well, thank you so much. And I feel very grateful and lucky to have been able to talk to you. Thank you.
Awesome. And everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Her by hitting subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And just take a second or two now and run on over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast, because I love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, so follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or on Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.